Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green, and I want to speak to you on behalf of Christian Community Credit Union. I've recently joined the credit union. I wanted to experience something before I would endorse it. And I want to tell you that, you know, what matters most as believers is that our values are what set us apart from the rest of the world. It's easy to find a bank. It's not easy to bank in a place that has the same values that we walk with. We're called to live out those values every day in the way we do business, the way we operate in the marketplace, the way we operate in our church. So why not bank with someone who shares those values? At Christian Community Credit Union, faith and finances come together to help build God's kingdom. Unlike those big banks, Christian Community Credit Union focuses on people, not profits. What a concept. Focus on people and not profits. They've been serving the financial services needs of Christians and Christian organizations for over 60 years. So this is a stable banking institution. Their mission is to help members and ministries manage their money in a way that honors God. So if you were to join Christian Community Credit Union now, you could take advantage of their unbelievable 3.5% rate as the new member welcome certificate. Now, you've just got to check that out. Go ahead and get online and check them out. I'll give you the address in a minute. For their terms and conditions on how to get that, just visit mycccu.com/CPN. Let me say that for you again. mycccu.com/CPN. Don't forget the forward slash, because that lets them know that you're listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. And we'll give it to you one more time. You ready? mycccu.com/CPN.com. That's Charisma Podcast Network. That's the CPN. See, we're real creative. So when you deposit money with Christian Community Credit Union, you're helping churches and all their members get affordable home and building loans. Whatever you need, whether it's a free checking account, a home loan, financial counseling, the friends that we have at Christian Community Credit Union will help you. For more money-saving and rewards-earning special offers at Christian Community Credit Union, visit mycccu.com/CPN and put your money where your faith is. I kind of like that. Put your money where your faith is. And for those of you that still like phone numbers, here it is, 800-347-2228. That's 800-347-2228. Be sure to ask for extension 4445. Christian Community Credit Union, your money building God's kingdom. Visit their website today. Well, I also want to remind you that each account is insured up to $250,000. By member's choice, this institution is not federally insured. Welcome certificate rates and terms are effective September 30, 2019, and is subject to change without notice. Welcome back to Green Lines. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. Well, it's that time again. I can never have this guest on too many times. It seems like so far in between shows. And I want to tell you, we've got so much to talk about with my friend and a friend of Charisma Media, Michael Snyder. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, Dr. Green, it's good to be with you today. It's a beautiful day out here in the mountains of where we live, and certainly there's a lot going on in the news, a lot for us to talk about today.
Quite a bit. And I want to tell all of our listeners something I told you in our pre-conversation, our pre-show talk. You fill up a football stadium every time you come on our show. Somewhere around 65 to 68,000 people download your show when you come on this network. Is that amazing? That's a football field.
I mean, it's incredible, and it's the power of technology. Of course, technology is used for all kinds of bad things, but mm-hmm. you know, we're also using it to get the gospel out, get the truth out, warn the people, and speak to the people, and technology allows us to do that in ways that we could never do that before we had the internet. So very thankful for that, very thankful so many people are tuning in. And I think in the future, it's going to be even bigger because I believe global events are about to really start accelerating.
Well, let's talk about that. And the obvious place to start is what's in the news right now. And the groundswell seems to be building for an attempt to impeach President Trump. What do you think? What do you see? What are you hearing in the spirit?
Yeah, well, I'm very alarmed by this because just this morning I was surveying the news and the opinion polls when they first came out, the public was, kind of against an impeachment inquiry. But today, the latest poll shows that there's actually Americans are in favor of this impeachment inquiry going forward, which is alarming to me. Of course, the mainstream media has been saying, impeach Trump, he's horrible, he did this thing.
Since the day he got elected. The very day he got elected, they started trying to impeach him.
Well, they've been targeting him ever since the very beginning. And even back then, I warned people. I said, you know what? There are more laws governing the executive branch than anybody else in America. And so they're going to be watching. And any way that Trump trips up even a little bit, they're going to go after him full bore. And so they think they finally got a hold of their moment with this call between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. But what I want people that are listening today to understand is that in order for there to be an impeachment, the president actually needs to have broken the law. And yes, in this case, you know, there is no violation of the law. Now, what this conversation, could it have been inappropriate? Possibly, we can debate that. Could it have been inadvisable in this political environment for President Trump to suggest that the president of Ukraine look into Joe Biden and his corruption? It might have been inadvisable. But there was no violation of the law. And of course, on the left, they're trying to come up with all kinds of theories about how this could potentially fit. Was it bribery? Was it extortion? You know, they're trying to fit all sorts of different things into it. But in no case do is anything fit. Of course, the Constitution requires that there be a high crime or misdemeanor to impeach President Trump, and we don't have that here. There was
not even close.
There's no violation of the law, and so that should be the end of it right there. Now, unfortunately, the Democrats are just trampling on the Constitution, as they tend to do quite a bit, and at this point, they seem quite determined to bring articles of impeachment. In fact, I just wrote about it, and not a lot of people have heard about this. A lot of conservatives out there seem to think this is going to be a process that goes on and on and on, like the Mueller report, and that it's going to be a long, drawn-out thing, and that eventually, at the end, nothing's going to come of it. In fact, a poll on the Drudge Report found that conservatives overwhelmingly believe that it's not even going to come to a vote on the House floor. But actually, Democrats are planning to have articles of impeachment drafted sometime around Thanksgiving and to go to a vote on the House floor. And if it goes to a vote on the House floor, it will pass. Nancy Pelosi will make certain of that. If there's a vote, it will be successful. If it wasn't going to be successful, she wouldn't bring it to a vote. So if you hear there's going to be a vote on impeachment, President Trump will be impeached by the House. Of course, it only takes a majority, a simple majority, more than 50% of the vote in the House to impeach him. And Democrats have a solid majority in the House. So, you know, it looks like, you know, if they move forward with that, if they want to move forward with that, even though it's illegal, that they will be successful in having an impeachment vote. So then it will move to the U.S. Senate. And the U.S. Senate, it takes a two-thirds, meaning 67 votes, to remove President Trump from office. Of course, we saw this back in the Clinton era where Bill Clinton was impeached by the House, went to a trial in the Senate, and there was not enough votes in the U.S. Senate to remove him from office. So that's the kind of scenario we may be facing here, where there's a trial in the Senate. Now, in the Senate, you would think, well, Democrats only have 47 seats, and they need 67 seats to get rid of Trump. So that should be, an open and shut case. And if the Republican Party was completely united behind Trump and said, hey, you know, Democrats, you're just wasting your time. There's no way that we're going to move forward with this. We stand united behind Trump. You know, that would just kill it right there. That would kill the move toward impeachment. It would be dead. But the Republicans in the Senate have not done that. In fact, a number of them, a number of moderate Republicans, of course, we know they're not fans of President Trump. In fact, some we know dislike Trump very, very much, like Mitt Romney, for example. Mm-hmm. And then we've got so many others like a Susan Collins from Maine, et cetera, et cetera. You know, a lot of these senators, particularly the more moderate ones, don't like Trump. And so could some of them, or quite a few of them, end up voting against Trump if it comes to a trial? We don't know. They aren't coming out and saying, hey, no way, this is stupid, we're never going to go for this. They're not committing publicly yet. So that's a concern. In fact, U.S. Senator, the former Senator Jeff Flake recently came out and said, hey, there's up to 35 senators, Republican senators in the Senate that could potentially vote against Trump. So we don't know what's going to happen. Now, hopefully a Republican-controlled Senate would not vote to remove a Republican president from office, but you know, there's Republican senators in there that are not friendly to Trump. So we don't know what the end result will be. We would hope that the Republican Senate would back up President Trump, especially concerning the fact that there is no violation of the law here. But in this day and age, you never know what's going to happen. And so it's a major concern and is causing a lot of chaos in Washington right now.
A lot of chaos. And I guess what I want to hear from you, brother, is a prophecy. Tell me how this is going to play out. What do you, your experience, you've been covering this beat for a long time now. What do you see? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, personally, I do believe that there will be an impeachment vote in the House, and they will vote to impeach President Trump. Of course, as we already covered, that doesn't mean he's removed from office. In fact, you know, I've just posted on themostimportantnews.com a vision from Brother Heath that he just had down in Brazil, where he saw President Trump impeached. Now, that doesn't mean he's removed from office.
Right.
Being impeached doesn't mean you're removed from office. It just means you're impeached, which would definitely, you know, kind of bring the political shaking in this nation to an entirely new level, because then all the focus would be on the Senate. There would be tremendous protests on both sides in Washington, D.C. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, in previous programs, we talked about John Paul Jackson and the perfect storm that he saw for this time period. He said about a decade from now when he first said it, and that puts it right around this time. And one of the pillars of his perfect storm that he saw coming was political shaking. So we would expect, with this perfect storm coming together, for there to be great political shaking in this nation. And now with this impeachment inquiry and a potential House vote coming up, that's exactly what we're witnessing. So the Democrats want this. And I don't think Nancy Pelosi would have even gone forward with this if it wasn't already a done deal for the House.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe we're going to see the impeachment vote. I believe President Trump will be impeached, only the fourth president in history to be impeached by the House. And then he'll go to the Senate. And I don't know what's going to happen. I know a lot of people out there are confident because the Republicans control the Senate. But I do know that there are a number of people, a number of senators there that would, Republican senators that would love to see Trump removed. I just don't know if there's enough of them. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
So let's assume that he's impeached by the House, but not in the Senate. What would that do to the election in next year? What's going to happen there?
Well, it could potentially fire up President Trump's base, his core followers, in that, you know, hey, they tried to impeach him. We've got to rally around the president. And, you know, so that could be a potential positive for President Trump. Although for the general public, independents, they could say, well, the House impeached him. They found that he did something horrible, but then he was protected by his buddies in the Senate. And so it could potentially sway people in the middle of the political spectrum and, you know, give them the impression that he did something wrong and that he deserves to be removed from office and that they shouldn't vote for him. So it could potentially sway things either way. So that could potentially be interesting. But another thing, you know, with at the same time we've got all this impeachment fervor swelling in Washington, now all of a sudden Hillary Clinton has popped up back on the scene, which is very, very interesting, because you've got a very interesting dynamic in the Democratic race right now for the White House, where basically at this point you only have three contenders. Everyone else has just flopped. They're in the low single digits. They haven't gotten any sort of traction at all. But you have Joe Biden, who's kind of the mainstream establishment candidate, if you will, although he's very, very liberal, but he's kind of the establishment choice. You have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, which have been kind of competing for the more progressive socialist kind of vote. And Elizabeth Warren has been surging. And then we, of course, with Bernie Sanders, he just had that problem with his heart, that where he's in the hospital, he had an emergency procedure. They say he's going to continue, but I mean, it's going to be tough for him to
slow him down.
Yeah. And his numbers have been, you know, kind of not that great anyway, compared to Warren. In fact, four of the last seven national polls show Elizabeth Warren actually beating Joe Biden. So Elizabeth Warren has been surging. She's taken the lead in four of the last seven national polls, according to Real Clear Politics. And so the establishment's kind of freaking out at this point, because the establishment doesn't want Elizabeth Warren. In fact, there was recently an article in CNBC in which kind of the wealthy Democrat donors said, we don't want Elizabeth Warren. She's going to put this wealth tax on us, taking 2-3% of our bank account every single year. Yep. She's going to crack down hard on Wall Street. We definitely don't want her. So they were warning that we're going to sit this presidential cycle out. We're not going to donate. We're not going to get involved, because we don't like Trump, but we sure don't like Elizabeth Warren. And so, but they're getting desperate, because they originally thought, well, Biden's the front runner. He's going to get the nomination. We don't have anything to worry about.
Don't think he's going to get it.
Well, his numbers have been slipping. Of course, all this focus of impeachment on Ukraine, that's another thing that this impeachment process is doing, is getting the focus on Ukraine. Joe Biden, his son, the corruption there, and there's some people, of course, that don't like what they see. And Joe Biden's numbers have been slipping. They were in the 30s, mid-30s, high-30s. Now they're in the latest polls. They've been slipping, many of them, into the 20s, mid-20s, even low-20s in a couple cases. So while Warren has been surging at the same time, so the establishment, they don't have any other choice than Joe Biden right now, because none of the other candidates have done much of anything. Joe Biden is slipping. So what do they do? Do they just say, well, we're going to give up and let Elizabeth Warren get the nomination? Or do they turn to another candidate who's not in the race, who could potentially be their savior, which could potentially be Hillary Clinton? Now, Hillary Clinton, over the past week, all of a sudden, she's everywhere in the mainstream media.
I've seen her.
She's been on The View. She's been on all these big shows all of a sudden, and she's lost weight. All of a sudden, she's back in business attire. She's looking sharp. She seems to have more energy. She's acting like someone who's put herself together, or potentially because she wants to get back in the fray, potentially. Now, and then something I just wrote about last night, which, I went and I said, well, let me go dig into this. No one else has written about this, so this is actually an exclusive that I had on my website. But right now, Hillary Clinton's campaign has been raising money, according to the FEC, according to their official reports, which you can find online. During the first half of this year, her campaign raised more than $165,000, which isn't a ton of money, and it also spent $131,000 during the first half of this year, and that brought her total war chest, which she's sitting on right now, to more than $650,000, which certainly isn't enough to win the nomination, but if she jumped into the race at this point, it would certainly be enough to get her off the ground and get her going and give her a good head start. And so her campaign is active. It is raising money, not a ton, but of course we don't have the last 3 months yet. We don't have, when she appears to be getting interested in potentially getting in the race. So we don't know what happened in July, August, and September yet, but we will in a few days, because those numbers are reported this month here in October. So if her fundraising has really ramped up, that's going to tell us something. And also I found it to be very interesting that if you go on Amazon.com right now, you can buy Hillary 2020 campaign T-shirts in 5 different colors. Now, is that just someone trying to make a buck on speculation, or is that another clue? I don't know. But Hillary Clinton certainly speaking like someone that is potentially eyeing getting in the race. For example, she was asked in one of these interviews, she was asked, hey, are you going to endorse any of these Democratic candidates? And she said, no. And she said, I'm not going to, meaning that moving forward, she's not going to endorse any of them. Now, why is she doing that? Is it just because she wants to remain neutral, or is it because she's planning to get into the race herself? We don't know, but there's certainly a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors out there. And in all these media appearances that she's had this week, She's done nothing to dispel those rumors. So this is something we're watching. I think Hillary Clinton senses an opening with the weakness of Biden. You know, that wasn't the case a month or two ago. But now that Biden is getting a lot weaker, I think she sees the field. Bernie Sanders is sidelined with a health issue. Biden's really weak. Elizabeth Warren is surging, creating the need for an establishment candidate. So everything seems to be coming together perfectly for Hillary Clinton. I think she's kind of surveying. I don't know if she's going to pull the trigger. It still, to me, seems kind of unlikely. But I think she's surveying the field, seeing if there's a potential opening for her, because I think she would love nothing more than to redeem herself for her failure in 2016. I don't think this is the way she wants her story to end. So if she sees the potential to get into this race, she just might do it.
That's just shocking. I mean, I'm just sitting here not believing what I'm hearing, that she could even think about making another run. Let's say something happens like this scenario, that President Trump is impeached and removed. If that happens, then we go right to the VP, don't we?
We do. We go to Mike Pence.
And doesn't that make that a slam dunk automatic? I mean, he's just going to beat any of those candidates.
Oh, Mike Pence?
Yes.
We would like to think so as people that are conservatives, but, in terms of the national polling we've seen national polling where Democrats have, all the major Democratic candidates have been beating Trump in head-to-head polls, and people out there might be saying, well, I don't believe the polls, and it's still early, and so who knows what, but I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk either way. Now, there's also the possibility that Mike Pence could be tied to this whole Ukraine thing, and that Mike Pence could be impeached and removed from office. Now, so that sets up a few different scenarios in which, okay, if President Trump is impeached and removed from office, okay, Mike Pence becomes president. But and then there would be a nomination of a new vice president, which would have to be confirmed by the Senate. Now, if Mike Pence is impeached and removed from office before the vice president that has been nominated is confirmed, then Nancy Pelosi becomes president of the United States. And that should send a chill down your bones.
That sends a chill.
So, yeah.
My goodness. So let's further speculate that if these things happen, I mean, we get to the general election, we don't even know who might be running against each other at this point. It could just be really different. What a year.
Oh, it could. I mean, it could be potentially setting up the wildest political year in U.S. history, because at this point, we don't know if President Trump is going to make it to the election. We would like to assume so, that the Senate will back him up, but we don't know if he's going to make it to the next election. We don't even know if Mike Pence will make it to the next election. So Republicans could ultimately be left scrambling to find a candidate kind of on very short notice. And then on the Democratic side, we don't even know if potentially Hillary Clinton gets in or what's going to happen there. So things are kind of up in the air very much on the Democratic side. And then, of course, we should talk about, even President Trump has come out recently and said, hey, this is a coup. This could potentially, he even used the term civil war, where if we see an impeachment vote happen, that's going to stir people up on both sides like we haven't seen in a very long time in this country. And then if it goes to the Senate, we're going to see tremendous protest. And then I'll tell you what, if we see President Trump removed from office by a Republican-controlled Senate, well, that would just rip the Republican Party in two between the Trump faction and the establishment Republican faction, and that the Republican Party might be in such chaos at that point, it might not ever be able to be repaired. We're talking about different scenarios down the road, which hopefully we won't get to any of these scenarios. But, talking about and looking at things that are potentially unprecedented, which is extremely unfortunate because, as we talked about at the very beginning, President Trump didn't violate any law. In fact, if you listen to the Democrats, they come out and they say, oh, Trump violated his oath of office. That's not a violation of any law, and that's kind of speculation. But they're saying, oh, he abused his power. Once again, they're not pointing to any specific law that he broke. So they... they taught what he did was wrong, and they use all this language, but at no point do you hear any of these Democrats come out and say, President Trump specifically violated such and such a law, but that's what's required for a high crime or misdemeanor, for a law to be broken, and President Trump didn't break any law. So all this is based on an impeachment move, which is actually illegal because Trump didn't break any law, but it's moving forward, it's going to happen, and it's extremely unfortunate.
It is, and I've got to ask the question that follows, that's most likely to follow. What does that do to the economy? You write on the economy almost daily. What do you see happening if we go to this turmoil with an impeachment?
Yeah, well, it's certainly not going to be good for the economy, and certainly a lot of investors are looking forward, and they're saying, well, right now it looks like we could lose Donald Trump, who's very much pro-Wall Street. And then on the Democratic side, Elizabeth Warren is surging, becoming the front runner, which would be the worst case scenario for Wall Street. And so that's got investors very, very nervous. But we're already at a time, I mean, because, you know, chaos in Washington is not going to be good for the economy. I think everyone recognizes that. And we're already at a time where, since we talked last, we just got, in fact, within the last couple of days, the worst manufacturing numbers for the U.S. economy ever since I started the Economic Collapse blog. Ever since I've been writing about the economy in over the last decade, the worst manufacturing numbers that we've seen. We're seeing global trade plummet. We're seeing, you know, auto sales are expected to be down about 12% this month. We're seeing, for the real economy, a big, big trouble. Wall Street, within the last couple of days, we've seen a decline on Monday, on the first 2 days of October, more than 800 points, the worst start to a quarter since 2009. A lot of people are getting very nervous there. So a lot of things with the economy and with Wall Street are very shaky. You know, all of a sudden, everyone's talking about the coming recession. Day after day after day, we get more bad economic numbers, which I regularly cover on the economiccollapseblog.com. Mm-hmm. And then with this chaos in Washington, that's not going to be good at all. Of course, our trade war with China has just taken a tremendous toll on everyone. We just escalated our trade war with Europe. Actually, we just slapped new tariffs on them within the last couple days. And so things for the economy have not been moving in a good direction. And then this chaos with impeachment and chaos in Washington. And of course, with all this going on, Congress isn't going to be getting anything done. The Congress and president certainly aren't going to be cooperating on anything. And so there's going to be gridlock in Washington. Nothing's going to move forward. And it's just going to be a bad environment for Wall Street and the economy. So and this comes at a very bad time when we see economic shaking start to escalate. Many people believe, and I believe, that you know, the worst is yet to come.
Well, brother, these are exciting times in a lot of ways. It's great to be a writer, reporter, a commentator. But then as a human, as a father, husband, man of God, it's a little bit, you know, it's time to get on our knees and really pray God's will be done here.
Oh, it's true. We need to be praying for President Trump, for Vice President Mike Pence, for our entire government, you know, and so hopefully all the shaking, the political shaking, economic shaking, you know, even seismic shaking, where we've seen unusual earthquakes here in recent days, which I've written about, all this shaking, which John Paul Jackson warned about, you know, about a decade ago, all the shaking should be a call to prayer, should be saying, hey, wake up, get on your knees, pray, seek God. And so, because, you know, to a large extent, you know, it seems to me that there have been a lot of people sleeping in recent months, over the past few years. And hopefully this will wake the church up, wake the people of God up, turn us to our knees, turn us back to God. And sometimes it takes shaking to do that, as we've seen throughout history. So hopefully people will wake up and things are going to get chaotic in this country. But the good thing about chaos, the good thing about shaking, is that it'll often make people realize they need God, because sometimes we go about our normal lives and everything seems fine and God kind of gets pushed onto the back burner. But all of a sudden, when things get really bad, when they're shaking, you know, what we saw it with 9/11, we've seen it with other events. All of a sudden the nation wakes up and people say, hey, I better get to church. I better get on my knees. You know, and so you know, let's hope as this nation is thrown into turmoil that it will turn people to God and we can bring in the harvest. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. We want to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be his witnesses. And so, and that's something all of us can do. We can all be his witnesses. We can all proclaim the truth. We can all share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is going to be critical in the times to come, because people are going to be looking for answers, and they're going to be looking to us. And does the Bible have answers? Does God have answers for what's going on? Where is God? And we need to be able and ready to defend our faith and to give answers to people that are going to become increasingly desperate for answers.
Well, we're always desperate for answers, right, brother? Yeah.
Well, amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Well, as always, you provide a ton of insight. There's a lot of things that are out there that we need to pray about and stay in touch. I want to mention your website again so that people can get daily updates from you. TheMostImportantNews.com is the place to start. If you stay there, Michael will direct you to other important sites that he writes and develops. TheMostImportantNews.com for daily updates. This is a time to really pay attention, stay close. Michael is not going to write something to just simply make his case. He tells you the truth as he sees it and as inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, Michael Snyder, once again, thank you for being on the Green Lines podcast.
Well, thank you, Dr. Green. And these are perilous times, but our hope is in the Lord, and he has a plan.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and just keep writing, brother. We need you.
Well, amen. And thank you, Dr. Green, for being so faithful with your podcasts and all that you're doing. You're doing an awesome job. And, we're moving into uncertain times, but, so thankful for Charisma and the great job that all of you over there are doing.
Thank you, sir. This is the Green Lines podcast. You've been listening to Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, God bless you all, and thank you so much for listening.